In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, how else can I begin today except with the words of St. Peter, words I've been waiting to say to you for, feels like a long time now. Lord, it is well that we are here. I am filled with joy to be with you here finally, and it seems especially auspicious to begin my service at your holy parish on the great feast of our Lord's Transfiguration. Our tradition holds that Mount Tabor is where the Transfiguration occurred, though the scripture does not name it. There on Mount Tabor, the apostles beheld the glory of the Lord Jesus and saw the prophets Moses and Elias, who in their own day beheld the glory of the Lord on Mount Sinai. Since Moses and Elias lived centuries before the apostles, Tabor and Sinai are separated by hundreds of miles, but at the Transfiguration, they were revealed to be one and the same, the mountain of the Lord. And the day was revealed to be the eighth day, the day of the resurrection, the same day on which we celebrate the divine liturgy, the day of the kingdom. Years later, when St. Peter wrote about that day in his epistle, he identified the place as the holy mountain of the Lord, the place where human beings met with God. The mountain of the Lord is a term that appears repeatedly throughout the scripture, but really its first appearance is actually with where it is called the Garden of Eden. You know, although it's often missed in artistic depictions, we know from the book of Ezekiel and from the writings of the fathers, especially St. Ephrem the Syrian, that the Garden of Eden was the original holy mountain of God. The mountain garden paradise of Eden was where heaven and earth overlapped. God was with them, there with humanity, in a way that the fall of humanity would interrupt and conceal. We profess at the beginning of, you know, of every liturgy with the prayer that we get from Pentecost, a heavenly king, that God is everywhere present. But God is not everywhere visible, at least not in the fullness of his glory. Now, on the Feast of the Transfiguration, which coincides now with Sunday, I could preach about a lot of things. I could preach about the light, and certainly there would be a lot to say there. But as you can imagine, of a man who just moved, the geography of our Lord's providence is what's been on my mind lately. So why a mountain? We could talk about the symbolism of a mountain for a while. If you heard or read the prologue of Ohrid, St. Nikolai answers that question well by saying that the mountain is an image of labor, of work, of toil. And if we want to behold the glory of the Lord, we're going to have to put in the ascetical labor to make that happen. And I would like to expand a little bit on that, on the image of a mountain, and why I think our Lord went up into the mountain to be transfigured. So, in a very, very simple, almost too simple, but significant way, mountains are large, and they seem powerful. And it's an image of God's power and his glory when we see his created things. And behind every mountain, there's more mountain. And so we know that what we see is not the fullness of the mountain, just like with God. Mountains rise up towards heaven. They look majestic from a distance, but intimidating up close at the base. And the view from the summit reveals the grandeur of the world around the mountain, which normally would appear flat and mundane. Perhaps, though, the real significance of a mountain is not what's there, but what isn't. As you go up the mountain, there is, by definition, less stuff. As you move towards the center, it narrows to a point until it reaches its peak. To borrow from C.S. Lewis, the further up and the further in you go, the bigger everything gets. And so it is with faith. God is everywhere, is indeed everywhere present in our lives, but our lives become cluttered with a lot of things. Take my word as someone who just packed up all his belongings and put them onto a truck. If you've moved before, you probably had a moment where you asked yourself, why do I own all this stuff? Do I own it? Does it own me? For people who wonder sometimes, where is God's glory in their life? Where is the grace of God in my life? Why am I not having that experience of transcendence? I say it might be that what's happened, it's not that God isn't present there, but it's like you're in a room with someone and there's a lot of stuff in the room. There's too much stuff. You can't see the person. Imagine being in a room with so much stuff that you can't see the other person in the room. We can fill up our life with a lot of things that in and of themselves are not bad, but when too many other pursuits and obligations pile up, God just becomes one amongst many other things. In a cluttered life, it's harder to perceive the life, to perceive the grace of God. You know, for me, this became very clear working in our Archdiocese camping program. You know, for the last 20 years, I've been a part of that, and I've watched kids go to camp. First, I saw it in Antiochian Village and at our own Camp St. Raphael here in our diocese. You know, at camp, the kids come from around the country, and the first thing that we do is we take away their stuff. We take away their phone. They don't have a computer or a telephone or a television. And the next thing that we do is we give them rules. We give them chores. We have them go to church twice a day. And you know what? They love it. They love being there. They are sad to go, and they look forward to coming back the next year. It's an experience I've had many, many times, especially for teenagers whose families converted to Orthodoxy. And it's not that they're against any of this stuff, but they haven't really made the connection with their new faith. When they go to camp, suddenly it's like a new horizon opens for them. They love it, and they experience real life-changing joy. And in part, it's because they're with Orthodox Christians their own age, and that's usually a lot of fun. But mainly it's because while they're at camp, all the clutter of their lives is gone. The world burdens them, and it burdens us with its cares and its pleasures. And for the week or 2 weeks that they're at camp, the kids get to put that burden down and experience the life revealed in the gospel. And that life feels wonderful. Feels like a relief. It really is a wonderful thing when I was a counselor years ago and now as a priest to see that moment of revelation and discovery for kids who go to camp. It's a matter of attention, as St. Peter says. And I'll close out with just quoting his words verbatim because they're beautiful. Pay attention to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. To the risen Lord who has shone upon us this light and who continues to shine this light upon us, be glory always, now and ever, and to the ages of ages. Amen. Yeah.